So tonight, later on the agenda, we have a topic of Malacha Sheina Tzricha Lagufa. And again, that's in keeping with the pattern that we discussed. It was supposed to alternate between Shabbos topics and more general topics. So tonight's a Shabbos slot. So to give a little bit of attention to the topic Malacha Sheina Tzricha Lagufa, which is a topic which one can really speak about for a very long time and go through a lot of examples and a lot of dafkaminas, and we're not really going to do that so much. We'll do that a little bit, but the key point is really just to spell out some of the yesodos, some of the major ideas that come up, and figure out how they may, in theory, be applied. It's interesting to note, the Mishnah in Shabbos in Klal Gadol on Daf Ayin Gimel, which lists out all the malachas, so the Mishnah has it in a slightly different way than the Rambam does. The Mishnah lists the malachas, Hazoreya, HaChoresh, HaKotzer, etc., etc. While the Rambam, when he lists the malachas, he lists them as actions, Zriya, Charisha, Ketzira, etc., like that. And there are a number of suggestions why this is. Joseph Engel has a discussion about this in his Aswin Daraisa. There are a couple of suggestions out there why it is. In the classic Sefer Magen Avos, it's suggested that the reason the Mishnah is written like that, and the reason the Rambam writes it differently, is because the Mishnah wants to be friendly to everyone. And therefore, the Mishnah wants to take into account the position of Reb Shimon, that Malacha Sheina Tzricha Lagufa is Pater. That if you're doing the same action, but it's for a different purpose, so in theory, that may not qualify for a Chiyuv. So therefore, the Mishnah doesn't want to say that Zriya is a Malacha, Charisha is a Malacha. Because in theory, the action of Zriya may not qualify. If the action of Zriya is being done, Shlo Lagufa, Shlo Lutzarech Gufa, so then it's not going to qualify. So therefore, the Mishnah says, not only Zriya, but Hazareya, a person who is intentionally doing that Malacha, that's what it takes to qualify. While the Rambam happens to hold, as we'll discuss, that Malacha Shein Tzricha Lagufa is Chayiv, like Rabbi Yehuda. So therefore, the Rambam can feel free to write Zriya, Charisha, etc., because according to the Rambam, that issue of it possibly being Shlo Lutzarech Gufa is not a concern. So that's a little introduction to this topic. The question of Malacha Sheina Tzricha Lagufa is a term you find throughout Hilchos Shabbos and throughout all the Svarim on Shabbos. And it's a question, it's actually a debate in the Gemara, in the Mishnah between Rav Shimon and Rav Yehuda, whether or not Malacha Sheina Tzricha Lagufa is really a Ptur. And we'll discuss this a little bit more, but we seem to tend towards Rav Shimon. Again, the Rambam doesn't, but we seem to tend towards Rav Shimon that Malacha Sheina Tzricha Lagufa is Ptur. First of all, the question you have to ask is, what is a Malacha Sheina Tzricha Lagufa? So on that issue alone, so you have very different opinions in Rishonim. Seems clear from the Mishnah inside of Gimel Amid Beis. The Mishnah talks about a scenario where you're taking a mace out of the house. And if you're taking a mace out of the house, so it seems that that's in theory a ptur, at least according to Reb Shimon, because of Malacha Sheina Tzricha Lagufa. So what exactly is going on in that scenario that classifies it that way? So according to Rashi, the reason that's a Malacha Sheina Tzricha Lagufa is because it's something you don't want. That basically the presumption is that the focus of that action is that the mace is in the house, and you don't want the mace in the house. It's not a pleasant experience to have the mace in the house with you, so you want to remove the mace from the premises to get it away from you. So the lashon that Rashi has, and again I apologize the sheet's on here, but the lashon Rashi has, is that kol malacha sheina tzricha l'gufa el salka me'olav, whoever action is not for its own purpose, but rather to get it away from you, to remove it from you, so that's the malacha sheina tzricha l'gufa, and he adds in the phrase, d'b'ritzono lo balo, if we're up to him, this wouldn't have been here, this is not something that he wants to have in front of him, v'loha yitzarech, why doesn't need the whole story, so therefore, that's not malachas machsheves, and therefore, b'shimen patis it. That's the position of Rashi, that anything that's a malacha siluk, anything that basically you're doing so it's not going to be in your face anymore, that's malacha sheina tzricha lagufa. You don't want it, you want to get rid of it. However, many other Rishonim, like Tosfos, I'm sorry, actually first, before we get to Tosfos, many Rishonim agree with Rashi, like the Ramban and the Rashba and the Ritva and the Meiri, that basically any malacha that's there to stop something from hurting you, that's a maniyas hezek, that's to get something out of your way, and you don't get any direct hanah from this action, so that's going to call malacha sheina tzricha lagufa. And it could be that that's the position of the Rambam again. Again, the Rambam himself assumes that malacha sheina tzricha lagufa is chayiv, But the definition that he's working off of, so some Achronim suggest that this is also the Rambam's position on what the definition of Malacha Shein Tzirich L'Gufa is, a Malacha that's to keep something away from it. So that's one view in Rishon. However, Tosus in the next Amr in Saridalam and Aleph, Tosus there takes a very different view. And Tosus writes that the whole idea of Malacha Shein Tzirich L'Gufa is an idea that stems from the Mishkan. And the notion is that any malacha that's not matching to what was done in the Mishkan is therefore lacking in its status as a malacha. So in order for malacha to really make the cut, to really qualify, it has to be fitting the same tachlis, the same purpose that was going on in the Mishkan. And if it's lacking that, so then that's some flaw in the malacha, and therefore you're patur. Rav Nachman Gishtetner has in one of his tshuvas, he points out that a nafka mina between these two reasons would be if you look at the same case from a different angle. Instead of the case of you're taking somebody out of the house to get it away from you, let's say you want to take a child out of the house with you because the house is burning down, something like that, or some kind of danger in the house, so you want to take them outside. So would that be a malacha shein tzirich l'gufa? So according to the Rishonim, they say that the whole idea is it's a malacha siluk, it's something to keep something away from danger, so then that again would be a malacha shein tzirich l'gufa. But as far as being comparable to Mishkan, that actually is comparable to Mishkan, basically taking something because you want it to be in a different place, so that in theory is comparable to Mishkan, so that's one of the many cases that may be affected by whether you choose to define things like Rashi and all the Rishonim who were with him, the Ramban, the Rashi, etc., or whether you want to take a Tosus type of view. Tosus asks on Rashi that, and the question may be a little better than the answer, Tosus asks on Rashi that if Rashi is right, so then a malacha, like for example, tofer, if you want to sew up a rip, or if you want to lance a boil, so that also should be a malacha siluk. That also is something that really you're fixing a problem. You're taking away something that's bothering you. So how come that's not all called the Malacha Shein Tzirich L'Gufa? So the Meiri says, and you could question how to exactly figure out the difference from what the Meiri says, but the Meiri says, no, it's not really a good question, because when you're being tofer or something, so then right now that's what you want to do. You want to sew it up. You want to lance the boil. But what Rashi is referring to, where just basically you don't want this here at all, and you want to remove it from you, and the Malacha is getting something away from you, so that's what he means by Malacha Shein Tzirich L'Gufa. You could still ask, there's a difference, there's a little daka stick, and that's what prompted Tosfos to ask the question in the first place, but that's the approach that the Meiri offers. The Kesef Mishnah, in Hilchos Shabbos, in Perek Aleph Halacha Zayin, in order to try to explain the difference between Malacha Shein Tzirich L'Gufa and a Psik Reisha, for example, a Davar Shein Miskaven with Psik Reisha, so we know we have a concept that if you have a unintentional malacha that's going to come out of what you're doing, and it's going to come out for sure, we call it psik reisha, so then most opinions in the Gemara are machayev in that case. We assume that you are responsible for that. So what exactly is the difference between a malacha shein tzirich l'gufa and psik reisha? So just as far as the terminology, the Kesef Mishnah explains that psik reisha means you're not intending to do the malacha at all. You're doing something else, and the malacha happens automatically from that other thing you're doing. Like you want to close the door to your house, and it happens to be there's a deer inside the house, so you are trapping the deer. But you're doing something completely intentional, but it's a different action, and that different action brings about a malacha. In the case of a malacha shein tzirich l'gufa, so you are intending to do the action of the malacha. It's just that the goal is different than the goal we had in the Mishkan. So that's the difference. In the case of the psik reisha, you're not intending to do this action at all. You're intending to do a different action. And it's going to bring about that action. While in the case of the malacha shein tzirich l'gufa, so you are intending to do that action, but you're intending to do it for a different reason. So the Kadosh Baruch Hu Rav has a discussion about this in one of his svarim, where he points out that which seems to be a little hard to understand, because presumably psik reisha is worse, right? More people are sure that psik reisha is a situation that you're chayiv for than a malacha shein tzirich l'gufa. So that's more of a violation of Hilchos Shabbos. But why should it be worse if a psik reisha you're doing without actually doing the malacha at all? And in the case of Malacha Shein Tzrich L'Gufa, your mamish is doing the Malacha, just with a different intent. So why should it be that a Psik Reisha action is going to be worse than a Malacha Shein Tzrich L'Gufa? So there he explains that basically when you do the Psik Reisha action, really you have full intent for the action that you're doing, which is the other action, the Heter action, and that intent therefore covers all the actions that come out of what you're doing. So when it's a Psik Reisha, that what you're doing is going to definitely lead to a Malacha, so then you have the malacha that you're doing, and you have the intent that you're doing this action on purpose, even though you were doing a different action. So therefore, that intent can grab onto the malacha, and you have a malacha with intent. But when you have a malacha shein tzricha l'gufa, so your whole process is really being diverted to a different tachlis. And therefore, there isn't any scenario, you don't have the elements to have a whole malacha here. So that's why, as he explains, building on this Kesef Mishnah, why a psik reisha is something that's more likely to get you in trouble than a malacha shein tzrich l'gufa. And Shua Ehrenberg, in his Tshuvas in Dvar Yeshua, so he also points out similar notion, that in a malacha shein tzrich l'gufa, if we assume that it's pater, if we assume that you're off the hook for it, so it doesn't matter the fact that the tachlis, that the aser tachlis, the tachlis that may come out of it, even if that's nichalcha, even if it happens to be that you'd be happy to have that other thing happen also. It's not what you're trying to do, but you'd also be happy to have it. So that that would make a difference. That's actually related to a discussion we've shown him that, that we'll get to in a few minutes. It's just interesting to point out what exactly is the status if we assume that Malacha Shein Tzrich L'Gufa is Pater. So then it sounds like it's basically a straight out Isser D'Rabbanan. It's one of the many things we find throughout Masechet Shabbos, which is Pater Avalaser. But it's not so clear. Shlomo Zalman Auerbach has a tradition, others have also, that really thinks Malacha Shein Tzrich L'Gufa is really something more serious than your average Drabbanan. It's really basically a Malacha that's just missing one of the conditions for you to be chayiv for it. So he thinks it's very close to a Malacha Daraisa. It's very close to a Daraisa. It just happens to get off the hook. And therefore, he suggests that in Bein HaShmashos, we have an idea that Dinim D'Rabbanan on Shabbos, the Shvusin, are not applicable during Bein HaShmashos. So he says, Malacha Shein Tzrich L'Gufa, though, he thinks is still going to be prohibited during Bein HaShmashos. That really, it's more than a D'Rabbanan, it's pretty close to a D'Raisa. It's really something that almost just made it as a Malacha. And again, the Shuvas Bar Yoshua, Rav Ehrenberg, in his Shuvas, he seems to be working off a similar concept when he considers a number of questions. Do we treat Malacha Shein Tzrich L'Gufa like a straight Drabbanan or not? Different kulas that we apply to Drabbanans, do we apply them to Malacha Shein Tzrich L'Gufa? For example, he considers in one place the question of whether or not Kavod HaBrios, which the Gemara says Kavod HaBrios is Docha Dinim Drabbanan, but not Daraisas. So what would the story be as far as the Malacha Shein Tzrich L'Gufa? So there the Dvar Yeshua writes that he has raya, that he thinks that Kavod HaBrios would overcome a Malacha Shein Tzrich L'Gufa. And another tshuva he discusses that he thinks that the question of hitir sofa mishum tchilasin, the whole question, whole controversial topic, to have somebody who's involved in a pikuach nefesh mission. So the question of whether or not the person who did the mission can now come back after he successfully went on the hatzalah call, he went to go save somebody's life, but now it's all over, pikuach nefesh is over. And the question of can he come back was a big debate between Rav Moshe Feinstein and Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach and his tshuvas. So that question, so it may make a difference whether he's going to do Malachas D'Raisa or Malachas D'Rabbanan. And again, it's Dvar Yeshua writes, he thinks Malachas Shein Tzrich L'Gufa should be mutter in that context. Again, treated like a D'Rabbanan. And the Magen Avraham already wrote that he basically seems to view Malachas Shein Tzrich L'Gufa like a straight D'Rabbanan. And the Magen Avraham writes that B'Mokum Tzar, so Chazal weren't gozer on a Malacha Shein Tzrich L'Gufa. So in any case, assuming that a Malacha Shein Tzrich L'Gufa is Pater, so what's the Pater based on? So Pshitas Rashi that we mentioned already, when we mentioned Rashi's definition, so there it seems that the issue is Malachas Machshavas. That if you're not doing it for the purpose of wanting it, but you're doing it because you want to get rid of it, that was Rashi's view, so that's not Malachas Machshavas. Malachas Machshavas means you want this action, not that you want to send it off somewhere else. While Tosus in Maseches Yuma and Daf Lamed Aleph Amud Beis and in other places, so has a different spin on it. But there Tosus writes that the word is the Mishkan. That, and this is again consistent with Tosus' idea that the issue is not being comparable enough to the Mishkan, that since the Malachas have to compare it to the Mishkan, so therefore that's the source for this whole idea that Malach HaShem Tzrich L'Gufa is going to be Patur. But back to this question of the key definition, whether it just means something that you don't want to do, or whether it means something that you're not doing for the same tachlis of the Mishkan, so that could affect a number of issues in Rishonim, just to give an example or two, and again, we're not going to get very involved in a lot of examples, but one example is mentioned in the Sefer Primosha, has a nice discussion about a lot of details related to this concept. She said, let's say, for example, you are digging a pit, right? So you're going to dig a pit, so that's normally a malacha daraisa, unless the reason you're digging the pit is because you really want the dirt. Now you want to get the dirt out of the pit. You don't want the pit, you want the dirt. So that would be a malacha sheni tzricha l'gufa. But let's say you're doing it in a way that the pit is also useful. Right? This is similar to what we mentioned earlier about being nichale. So let's say the pit is also useful, but really you're doing it for the dirt. So do we say then you do have a malacha of charish or bone? It depends whether you're doing it inside or outside. If you're doing it inside, you're making a hole in the house inside to help the house. That's an aspect of bone. If you're doing it in the dirt outside, then it's charish. But whatever it is it also that, if even though you're doing it for the dirt, but you also like the, there's also a tikkun involved in what you're doing? So that's a question in Rishonim. And the Rashba and the Ritva and Eirvin and Daflam and Hayim and Aleph and Tosis and Tzachim and then Zayin and Beis, they all assume that such a situation is chayiv. And other Rishonim, such as the Rashbam, felt this was pater because in the Mishkan, when they built or when they were choresh, they were doing it davka for that purpose. So again, the question is, what exactly is the patur of malach shen etzricha l'gufa? If it's just because you want to get rid of something, so then that's why Rishonim might say, well, here it's not just you want to get rid of something. Here you're also doing something constructive at the same time. So the constructive thing is going to nail you. But if you're saying it's all based on the Mishkan, so the Mishkan, the key focus has to be the thing that you're doing for the same purpose as the Mishkan, and therefore there might still be room to pater something like this. Similarly, the Mishnah in Kuf Gimel Amud Aleph, Mishnah talks about different things that you could be doing in a field that seem to be plowing it, so to speak. You have your animals running around in a field, and the Gemara asks, why is this not straight out Choresh? Because the Mishnah is giving you all kinds of different other things that it could be besides Choresh. So there the Gemara says, because it's somebody else's field, it's not your field, so presumably you don't care that it should be plowed, so that's why it's not straight Choresh. And Tosfos says, that's Malach HaShem Yitzricha L'Guf. But other Rishonim say that's not really what the Gemara is getting at, this isn't about Malach HaShem Yitzricha L'Guf at all. So there the question is again, what does Malach HaShem Yitzricha L'Guf mean? That according to Tosfos, it can mean it's not comparable to the Mishkan. So in the Mishkan, you're only going to plow the field that you want to be plowed, your own field. So if you're doing something that plows the field, but it's somebody else's field, so then that could be a Malach HaShem Yitzricha L'Gufa. But other Rishonim are going to reject that because the Maisa, it's still something that's doing something productive, and therefore that's not going to fit the definition of just something that you want to get rid of. There is a major practical dispute between Tosfos and the Ramban. That the Ramban appears in a couple places, Tetosis and Sabidalad on the Bays, holds that if somebody wants to cut off his fingernails, whether he uses his hands or his teeth or whatever he uses, so there's an opinion in the Mishnah that Yechayev for that. And Tosfos explains that the opinion that says Yechayev is assuming that Malach HaShem Tzrich L'Gufa is Chayiv. It's according like Rabbi Yehuda that you're Chayiv from Malach HaShem Tzrich L'Gufa, because otherwise this really shouldn't be a Malach HaTzrich L'Gufa, because normally the Malach of Gozes, for example, is probably what we're talking about, so that would presumably mean that you want the thing that you're shearing off, and most people don't really want their fingernails, they just want them not to be on the fingers, so therefore that should be a Malach HaShem Tzrich L'Gufa. However, the Ramban writes that this is actually a straight out malacha. This is straight gozes, because he has this lashon, because our kol dover echad, it's all one thing, the fingernails and the fingers together, and then the tila hi atzma ha-malacha, and the malacha is removing it. So what does that mean? So So the Stipler has a whole discussion in his Sefer on Shabbos what this means. And he thinks what the Ramban is saying is that certain malachas, Gozes being one of them, that the nature of the malacha is really just separating two things. So therefore, by definition, if you're separating two things, so each one of the two things is an equal part of the action. The malacha was done to both of them. So therefore, if you want either of them, so you want the fingers to be the way they are without the nails, so therefore that's a tzricha l'gufa, because it's not just, you have to, it's not only going to be make the cut if you want the nails. If you want the fingers the way they are cut, that's also considered to be tzricha l'gufa. But in any case, this dispute between the Tosfos and the Ramban may also, again, be l'shitasam, that Tosfos maybe will tell you that it's not domu what happened in the Mishkan. The Mishkan, things were sheared because you wanted those items. And the Ramban is going to tell you that here there is a tikkun, you're fixing your fingernails, so we can't really call that a malacha shein tzricha l'gufa. The truth is, this is a little bit of a more complicated question. And there may also be a position that the Magen Avraham quotes from the Rivash, that maybe when it comes to gozes, there is no patur of, let's say, malacha shein tzricha l'gufa in this case, of saying that you're not interested in the thing that you're cutting off, because some hold, like the Rivash holds, that in the Mishkan they did shear animals just to not have them have their hair on them. So therefore, if we're going based on the Mishkan, so it could be that the nature of the Malach in the Mishkan was also to be gozes and not be interested in having what was cut off. So if that's the case, so maybe one could say that gozes in general just doesn't have this patur. That's a question. Chasim Sofer writes in his Haris in the Shulchan Aruch that he thinks this is not true. Sidrei Tahara earlier in him was cholik on this Rivash that the Magen Avraham quotes, and the Chasim Sofer says he thinks Sidrei Tahara is right, that this isn't true. So it's a question in general, that specific malacha of gozes, what is the role of malacha shein tzricha l'gufa? That's a little bit of a discussion. Hi. The Tchashim. Well, it's also a question of what is the role of that. What types of avodas in the Mishkan are qualified for a longer discussion? In theory, that could qualify. Right. Okay, so assuming that, like those Rishonim, that a tikkun, any tikkun makes it into a mitzvah, into a malacha, tzricha l'gufa, so do you have to have kavana for that tikkun? Or is it enough if it's just in the Mela? So that could be a Machlokas Rishonim, and that's also a discussion in the Primosha, where he infers from reading Rishonim that the Ritva, like the Ritva and the Ramban, both agree that the definition of Malach Shana Tzricha L'Gufa is something that doesn't have a positive benefit to it, it's just a Malach HaSiluk. But he thinks that they disagree in this question of Kavana, that the Ritva would hold that even if you don't have any intent in order to be doing that other thing, still going to become chayiv. And the Ramban, it sounds like you have to want to do it. This Ramban about fingernails, it says there the intent is to cut the fingernails and to take that tikkun, so he understood that to mean that the Ramban would assume you have to have the kavana for this tikkun. So that gets into the question, what about tzarech mitzvah? If you're not necessarily interested in the malach itself, except for the fact that you're mekayim a mitzvah, so does that count as intention for the malacha? So that's a question. On the one hand, so the Gemara says that somebody who is obligated in kriya, rachmanu l'tzlan, on a mace, and tears kriya, so he's chayiv for the malacha of kareya. And Tosus explains over there that because there is a mitzvah, so that's called mitaken, and it's not just a mitzvah, It's also helping the beggar a little bit, because now you can wear the beggar during Shiva. So it sounds like it's kind of a tzira for the two. There's a little bit of a tikkun for the beggar, but the mitzvah together with that helps it make the cut. Other Rishonim may disagree. For example, the whole example that we started off with, where the Mishnah says you're talking about taking a mace out of a house, so what about the mitzvah of kvura? Isn't that a mitzvah to be taking the mace out of the house? So the Rashbah, in a slightly different context, the Rashbah says later in Daf Kufav Min Aleph that if you're doing something for the purpose of mitzvahs, that still doesn't make you into malacha tzricha l'gufa. Later, Achronim also discussed this question, why the Gemara seems to be ignoring the whole concept of the mitzvah of Kvura, the discussion about this in the Tshuvas Milchus Elazar, and before him there's discussion about this in the mitzvah in the Tshuvas Avinezer. And the Avinezer says that even when you're taking it out for a Kvura, really there are two goals. And he quotes from the Pasuk, the Ekbaras Mesi Milfonai, that even when you're doing Kvura, so there's also the goal of Milfonai, taking it away from in front of me. So there's really a primary kavana of removing it, and even a secondary kavana of the mitzvah, and therefore the primary kavana is for a malacha of removal, for an action of siluk, and that's enough to qualify it as a malacha shein tzrich l'gufa. That's the way the Avinezer explains the idea. But in any case, it's the whole question whether or not doing something for the purposes of a mitzvah makes it into a malacha hatzricha l'gufa. Right, but what about the mitzvah of Kura? That's what the
Achronim
is.
Right?
So therefore, the Kura is detached from it.
Because
it's not clear. You're right. The Mitzvah doesn't mention Kura, but the Achronim are asking. So, but what about the Rashba is in a different Gemara? But the Achronim are talking about. They're asking, but the Maisa, you have a mitzvah of Kura, so you're going to have to take it out for that purpose. So you want to say that since that's not what's going on this minute, so that's not relevant. Could be. Hi. Good point, but it could still be Litzarech L'Kvura. Right, so which I guess that relates a little bit to what Joey's saying. When I said that's not the immediate action, but in the long run, this is a step towards the Kvura. And that's what the Achronim are wondering, so why is that not considered somehow Litzarech Mitzvah? But yeah, it's a legitimate point that Lamaisa is not immediately burying him right now, so maybe that's not reasonable to say that that's what's going on. But in any case, Rishonim do raise this question whether or not a mitzvah has the ability to make something into a malacha tzrich l'gufa. And it's an interesting contrast, because Maisa, you do have a couple of interesting positions in Svarim as to what alternative intentions do. For example, there is a Tshuvas Maharik that is quoted by many, some of Kuf Lamed Zayin, and I had it printed on the sheets, but they're not here, that if you do a malacha because somebody is forcing you, because somebody is scaring you, somebody is threatening you, so that becomes a malacha shein tzrich l'gufa. And that's a very interesting idea that a lot of other Sfarim pick up on, that if somebody for some reason is making you do something, even if it's a straight malacha, but you're doing it for somebody else, so that becomes a malacha shein tzrich l'gufa. So for example, the Chafetz Chaim, in one of his lesser well-known Sfarim, Machane Yisrael, which was a sefer that he wrote in order to tell soldiers how to behave. It was before the State of Israel. It's not the modern Sfarim where you have people telling you how to behave in the Israeli army. He was talking about the Russian army, the Jewish people who were grabbed to the Russian army and wanted to know how they could keep as much halacha as possible. Well, in that context, so the Chafetz Chaim wrote a sefer for them. And in that he says that this notion that if somebody else is forcing you to do a malacha, so it may have a character of a malacha shein tzricha l'gufa, so that may help. That may make life a lot easier for the soldiers, but it could be they're not really violating Shabbos on a deraisa level. There might be more room for kulas. Similar to this, Moshe Feinstein writes in his Tshuvas and Igros Moshe, in Aruch Chaim, in Chelek Aleph, and Siman Kuf Chaf Aleph, that any malacha that you do because somebody is threatening you, somebody's going to kill you, that's already made into a malacha shein tzrich l'gufa. There are some other interesting applications of this idea. For example, there's the Marsham Baba Basra asks on the Gemara there. The Gemara has a discussion that maybe the Mekoshes Eitzim, who was executed, maybe he was really a tzaddik, he was doing it in order to teach people the lesson. So the Gemara there has this idea that the Mekoshes Eitzim was really Mechavim L'Shem Shemayim. So Marsham asks on that, but that's going to be a problem, because that should be a Malacha Shein Tzrich L'Gufa, he shouldn't be Chayiv. But if the whole reason he was doing the Malacha was in order to make a point, but not in order to do the Malacha really, so that should also be a Malacha Shein Tzrich L'Gufa. So that's his question. The Chasam Sofer has a tshuva, which may be relevant to some issues that doctors deal with nowadays, that if, for example, when doctors are training, so they have a lot of Hilchos Shabbos issues that come up, because they're not really doing things that necessarily always qualify for pikuach nefesh under normal rules. So, is that justifiable as far as Hilchos Shabbos is concerned? So there is some discussion that their hechrich to do what they're doing may also create a malacha shein tzrich l'gufa. A less grounded in these, but similar. There is also a more extreme version that could be found in the Chachma Shlomo, in his commentary in the Shulchan Aruch, of Shlomo Kluger, in his Haris in the Shulchan Aruch, that there, this would be a very broad heter if this were accepted, or at least a very broadly mitzvahs, because it only brings things to a Drabbanan. But the Chachma Shlomo says that if somebody else is paying you to do a malacha, that should also be a malacha shein yitzricha legufa, because there, the guy who's paying you, so you're his shliach, so ein shliach is var aveira, so he's not going to get the aveira, and you're not going to get it either on a deraisa level, because you're really doing it for the money. So that's a question whether or not that's really in the spirit of what we were discussing. That's probably not the makubah of Nasta Gestetner. His Shuvas has a number of questions on this idea. But in general, on all of these ideas that you could ask, according to those Rishonim who say that a mitzvah is enough to make it into a mlacha tzricha legufa, so why is that different than all of these cases where the pressure, somebody going to kill you or whatever it is that's going on, should also make it into a mlacha hatzricha legufa? So some Achronim want to suggest that maybe there's a difference, that maybe when it comes to a mitzvah, so at least the mitzvah, you want the mitzvah, you want to do that. But here, in all these cases, you'd rather the whole situation never came up. You don't want any of it. So maybe that's the difference. That maybe a mitzvah could make something into a tzricha legufa. But the fact that the guy's going to kill you, so there you'd rather the whole situation never happened in the first place. So that's still a malach shein tzricha legufa. It's not going to help Shlomo Kluger. If you're getting paid, so then Pashas, you're pretty happy about the situation. So that's still going to be difficult. But in any case, those are some of the interesting applications that could possibly come out of these questions. As we mentioned, so the Rambam seems to paskin that this whole story is, for the most part, not so relevant, that he seems to assume Malacha Shein Tzricha Legufa is Chayiv. And the Magen Mishnah brings that this was a position of the Rif as well. But the Raiva disagrees, and this seems to be what's normative for the most part. It seems to be that we assume Malacha Shein Tzricha Legufa is Pater. This is a little bit what to talk about, because the Shulchan Aruch actually brings both days. The Shulchan Aruch first says Pater, and then quotes also that the fact that some Rishonim were Mechayiv, meaning the Rambam, and the question being a little bit how to view the fact that he brings both. Most people seem to assume again that the majority view is Malacha Shein Tzricha Legufa is Pater. The Chalkas Mechokik writes that anytime the Shulchan Aruch quotes two days, he really means to tell you the first one. And the second one is just a covet that he's bringing that in. But there's some discussion in the Svarim whether or not we can really say with a full heart that for sure it's Pater. It's a little bit unclear from the Shulchan Aruch. He does quote both views, but we seem to, for the most part, assume that this is the case. Within the Rambam's position that there's a Chiyuv, so there might still be some modifications. For example, many Achronim assume that even the Rambam would agree that Malacha Shein Tzricha Legufa is only Chayiv if Lamaith is doing a Tikkun with this Malacha. But if the action that you're doing isn't doing any Tikkun at all, isn't really helping anything, so even the Rambam would pat to that. And the Raya from the Rambam that this is true. The Mekevus and Mishnah also suggests within the Rambam that this would only be his getting his being Mechayiv, Malacha Shein Tzricha Legufa, is only true for an Av Malacha. But if you have a Tolda Malacha that we're talking about, so then even the Rambam would agree that the Malacha Shein Tzricha Legufa is not going to be Chayiv, because the whole Chap of a Tolda has got to have the same Tachlis of the Av, and if it doesn't have the same Tachlis, so then it's not going to be connected, and then he assumes that even the Rambam agrees that such a thing would be Pater. Shlomo Zalman thought he had a Raya, maybe not that way, but in any case, that's what the Merkavos HaMishnah suggests. Maybe two or three more points, and then we'll wrap it up. So there is also an interesting comment that a number of Achronim have, that there might be one other part of a Malacha that may not be part of this whole story. You mentioned before Gozes' discussion. It's also a question about carrying Dalet Amos for Shuster Avim. Then a number of Svarim have Yisod. A number of Achronim mention a point, the Kapas Tamarim and Rosh Hashanah has this, and the Shuvas Mahari Asad has a discussion about this, that it's a question, you notice that carrying Dalet Amos Rosh Hashanah is not actually listed in the Mishnah. The Mishnah talks about being Motzi or Rosh Hashanah, but the other type of carrying Dalet Amos Rosh Hashanah is not listed. So some have an understanding that type of carrying is actually Halacha L'Moshe Mi Sinai. is actually not part of the same straight derises as everything else, and it may have different rules, and may not have the same connection to the Mishkan. So based on that, a number of Acharonim have an idea. Rav Engel discussed this in his Sium Torah, and a lot of people quote it from the San Zerav, the Divrei Chaim, in his Sefer HaTorah, in Parshas Vayetze. Somehow this comment Parshas Vayetze was quoted in a lot of other Svarim, that when it comes to carrying Rishas HaRabim, that there is no Ptur of Malach Shenet Tzrichu L'Gufa, that since it's not learned out from the same Mishkan system, and it has the Halacha Moshe Mi-Sinai sources, so therefore it doesn't have this whole concept. It's a discussion whether or not that's true. Does this apply to any other area outside of Shabbos? So one would assume Pashtus not. There is a comment the Shulchan Aruch has in Yerideya, in Siman Kuf Pei, Siv Dalid, in the context of the prohibition of tattoos. Right? So you're not allowed to write with permanent ink on your skin. You're not allowed to inside the skin. You're not allowed to make a tattoo. But the Shulchan Aruch writes that if a person wants to brand his eved, wants to make a marking on his eved, so that his eved's not going to run away, so he's potter. The Ramah says, however, l'chachila is still wrong to do. Apparently, against potter of a lasser. Shulchan Aruch says, you're not the chayiv anything for it, and the Ramah says, it's still lasser to do. So the Sefer Get Pashit and Evan Ezra's and Hilchos Gittin writes that the reason that it's potter is because the Torah only prohibited making tattoos if you want the writing of the tattoo, if that's the goal. That's the chukas hagayim that we're trying to avoid. But here the whole point is just because you don't want the eved to run away, you're not really interested in the writing itself, so that's like a malacha shein tzricha legufa, and that's why you're potter for it. And then he goes on to say, therefore if you wrote a get on the skin also, you'd be potter, because there the interest is really in the divorce and not in the ksiva. So Rav Nosson Gestetner has in his tshuvas a couple of questions on this idea. He doesn't think this is true for a couple of reasons, but one of them is that the whole application of a malacha shein tzricha legufa to areas outside of Shabbos seems to be very weak, because whether you say it's from Malachas Machshavas, whether you say it's from the Mishkan, it would seem either way that this is a concept that should be limited to Hilchos Shabbos, and to try to extrapolate from this to other areas of Halacha would seem to be difficult. In fact, the Pnei Yehoshua in Shabbos Nachman Vav Medeis says it doesn't even apply to Yontif, because Yontif, you don't have a concept of Malachas Machshavas that doesn't refer to it specifically, so therefore you don't have Malach HaShem Yitzrich HaLagufa. Therefore, are you chayiv in Malach HaShem Yitzrich HaLagufa? Happens to be that the Meiri come first, the Meiri says the opposite. The Meiri says in Chidushim Tebeitza and Avav Mar Aleph that when it comes to Yontif, everyone would agree, even Rabbi Huda would agree, that Malach HaShem Yitzrich HaLagufa is Pater. He said really the opposite of Pnei Yehoshua. Pnei Yehoshua says that the whole Ptur of Malach Shein Tzrich L'Gufa doesn't apply to Yontif. But the Meiri seems to say the opposite, that everyone would agree that it does apply, even those who don't apply it by Shabbos. Okay, again, these are just some of the basic lulam. There are many, many nafkamines you can go through, which would take many hours. I would recommend taking a look, perhaps, in the piece in the Primosha, which has a nice discussion of a lot of these points. But these are just some of the basic outlines, just to quickly review what we spoke about. So we mentioned first that word from the Magen Avos in the Mishnah, that the reason the Mishnah uses the phraseology of Hazareya as opposed to the Rambam Zriya, Harish, etc., is because the Mishnah wants to satisfy everyone and take into account the possibility that Malach Shein Tzrich L'Gufa is Pater. So therefore, you could have a Zriya that's not Chayiv, so you have to say Hazareya. But the Rambam is assuming that Malach Shein Tzrich L'Gufa is Chayiv, and therefore he can just list actions, and that's enough to qualify for a chiyuv. So what is Malach Shein Tzrich L'Gufa? So we saw Machlokes Rishonim centering around the fact the Mishnah talks about taking a mace out of the house. And Rashi and many other Rishonim say that means because you want to do a malacha to get rid of what you have, a siluk, and that's not for its own purpose, so therefore that's not called Tzrich L'Gufa, and it's not Malachas Machshavas. And Tosfos there says because not Daim L'Mishkan. And Tosfos they asked on Rashi, so why is not tofer or anything like that, also not called Malach Shein Tzrich L'Gufa, and the Meiri says, because there, now this is what you want to do. But the other types of examples are things where you want to get rid of something, and that doesn't count. In the case of Mishnah, distinguish between a Psik Reisha and a Malach Shein Tzrich L'Gufa, but a Psik Reisha, you're trying to do an action and another unintended action happens. While malacha shenitzri chalagufa, you're trying to do the malacha, it's just that your intent is different than that which was in the Mishkan and that which is normally required. And we discussed the Kadosh Rav's explanation of why it is that a psik resha is more likely to get you in trouble than malacha shenitzri chalagufa, and not the other way around. And then we discussed also Varishua's point that therefore, once if you assume your pater, so nichle wouldn't make it any worse. And then we also discussed from Shlomo Zalman's perspective that malach shenitzri chalagufa is more than a nisa drabanan, it's really more chamer, and therefore even banish marsh sasser. And we mentioned Devar Yeshua's discussion about this, where he did apply certain kulus of drabanan to malach shenitzri chalagufa, such as kaver abrius and such as allowing a pikuach nefesh person to return while violating malach shenitzri chalagufa. And that the Magen Avraham already wrote that malachim tzara lo gozru and malach shenitzri chalagufa, assuming that it's a din drabanan. So what the source is for the Pator, we mentioned that Rashi said it related to Malach Machsheves, and Tosus and Yuma held that the reason was because it's not comparable to the Mishkan, again, consistent with their reasons, with their definitions of what is this going on. We mentioned different cases that might be impacted on this, for example, Machlokas Rishonim, considering somebody who does a Malach Shen Tzrich Lagufa, but that it also has a goal towards the Malach that would be Lagufa. So this is Machlokas Rishonim, whether or not Yechai for that, and that's probably relevant. We mentioned the Machlokas Tosfos and the Ramban about cutting your fingernails, that according to Tosfos that's a malacha shen tzricha lagufa, and according to Ramban that's mamash a malacha. We mentioned the Taipu's explanation of what the Ramban says there, that Gozes happens to be a malacha of separating two things, and therefore a malacha that's like that, the malacha is done equally to both parts, so if any part is tzricha lagufa, the whole malacha is tzricha lagufa. We mentioned that really Gozes is a question in general, but the Magen Avraham quotes in Rivash that maybe Gozes, even if you don't need the thing that you're cutting, it's still called Tzrich Lagufa, because that's possibly what they did in the Mishkan, the Chazon Sofer, and the Sidur Torah disagreed, and that was a whole discussion in and of itself. We discussed a little bit the question of, if you assume that a tikkun helps, do you need Kavana for that tikkun? That maybe could be read into being the Machlokas Rishonim. And then we discussed the question of whether Tzorech Mitzvah could count for a tikkun, which seems to also be a question in Rishonim, and how does that relate to the possibility of Kavura being a mitzvah that was relevant to the example that we began with. And then we discussed the fact that there are a lot of other precedents for external motivations making something into a malach shen tzrich lagufa. Maharik and others who came after him discussing if you're being threatened or intimidated, that creates a malach shen tzrich lagufa, the possibility that the Mekor Sheitzin was doing a malach shen tzrich lagufa because he was trying to make a point with Shem Shemayim. The discussion of doctors treating people may also be considered a malach shen tzrich lagufa. And then we discussed the more extreme example of Chacham Shlomo, that even somebody who's getting paid, that's also called a malach shen tzrich lagufa. And again, it's hard to see that's necessarily accepted in poskim. And then we discussed that, again, the Rambam did assume that you're chayav from malach shen tzrich lagufa. Maybe the Rif did as well, but most Rishonim, like the Ravid, seem to disagree. And that's probably normative, even though Shulchan Aruch brings both days. And we mentioned some modifications of the Rambam's position. For example, the fact that if it's not a tikkun at all, so many achronim assume that the Rambam would patter such a case. And also what the Mekevus and Mishnah writes, that a tolda, the Rambam would agree, is patter for chain tzrich lagufa, because the whole nature of a tolda is that it has to match the tachlis of the av, and Shlomo Zalman questioned whether or not there might be a raya against that, but that was the other point. And then the fact that carrying Dalet Amos for Shasa Rabbi may also be an exception to this whole rule, because it could be that that is actually learned halacha Moshe Mitzinai and is not one of the straight Mishkan Malachas, and therefore the Torah of Mitzvah of Malach Shem Shri Gufa may not apply. There's a discussion in a number of Achronim. And then we just discussed the question of whether or not this concept is relevant only to Halacha Shabbos, or is it perhaps relevant to other Yisurim as well. We mentioned the Get Pashut Svara, that what the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah say, that you could, in theory, tattoo somebody in order to make sure it doesn't run away, but the Ramah says it's also to do, you just potter. So the Get Pashut says that that's a din of Malach Shen Tzrich Lagufa. We discussed it's really a little bit questionable whether or not this would apply to anything outside of Shabbos. The Makoros would seem to limit it to Shabbos, as Nasser Shetan points out. And that's even a question whether or not it's applicable to Yontif. The Tnei Yeshua writes that the Ptur is in Shaykh the Yontif. But Lamaisa, the Meiri says the opposite, and he says that everybody, even those who are Mechayev Malach Shen Tzrich Lagufa, would patter when it comes to Yontif. Okay, so again, these are just some of the key points of Ezra Shem. The next topic on the agenda is Hidur Mitzvah, so stay tuned, look for the signs, whether it'll be next Wednesday or whether it'll be in 2 Wednesdays. Shkayach, have a wonderful night.